Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Susan Mutezi is a Ugandan-born, Australian-based, award-winning style icon, actress, author, model, singer, producer, activist, and all-round creative powerhouse. Susan has grown from humble beginnings in her home country of Uganda, all through becoming a household name in the Australian creative industries and her breakthrough in the international scene, gracing the pages of Vogue France and Australia and becoming an iconic face of Bonds. A trained and talented actress, Susan is set to be the lead in an upcoming Hollywood movie, which details are still under wrap alongside a Best Actors Oscar winner. She has also just finished filming a cameo role in Anyone But You. As a published author, Susan's first book, Unapologetically Black Afro Sisters, released in 2020, received critical acclaim. Her fashion career has seen her winning the Fashion Icon of the Year Award at the Afro-Australia Music and Movie Awards. She also received the Best Fashion Contributor in the Diaspora in Uganda, Fashion Designer Award from Celebrate African Australians at the Fashion Aid Forward. And as a fashion designer, she has dressed and styled some of the biggest Australian models and celebrities, as well as Kelly Rowland for The Voice Australia. As an influencer and model, she appeared in campaigns for iconic brands like Fenty and Nike, among others. Up next on Celeb Savant, discussing her journey in the entertainment industry, and her latest book release, Love Beyond 30s, is Susan Mutezi. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
Oh, I'm in Sydney, Australia, and I'm doing fantastic, fabulous. I'm blessed. I'm alive. I've got breath in my lungs. I've got eyes. I can see. So I'm very grateful, you know. Gratitude and blessed. Yeah.
I love that. You know, sometimes we need to be reminded to be grateful for those things, for the eyes, for the breathing that we just sort of overlook on an everyday basis. So thank you for reminding us about that.
That's okay.
Susan, let's rewind. At what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you feel cool? I want to be in this creative entertainment world. And how did that journey progress?
From a young age, back in Africa, grew up in the times of President Museveni and Tito Okello. It was under the guerrilla war. That's when I was born in 1986. I hope I don't reveal my age. it was under hard circumstances during the war. I remember my parents hiding under the ground. It was a lot of terror. And then from that, my mom moved to Australia. But when she left us, I grew up in a creative space. We grew up in the slums of Kampala. So it wasn't the most glamorous space. I grew up playing with handmade toys, like from car tires, sandals or thongs. I remember playing Seven Stones, card games, chess games. I remember skipping. I remember running on the field. I remember making my own Barbie dolls in banana fibers from Matoke. If you do know Matoke, like banana fibers, I remember I never owned toys. I never owned Barbies. I never had cars. I never had like massive, like, I don't know, all these giant, beautiful toys people have today. We never had that. So we made our own toys and we were creative from the get-go. So for me, I grew around that where I was very content with my childhood, with what we had. We played a lot. We never watched a lot of TV. The only time we watched TV is when we were watching movies. And my dad was the local SC, so he's the only one who had a television in the neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
It was the size of a shoebox, like a Nike shoebox. And yes, it was black and white. And all the kids in the village would come to our house and we'd sit on the floor and we'd watch movies like Rambo, Schwarzenegger, How to Die, True Lies. You know, we grew up on things like that. And I remember looking at those films and I'm like, one day I'll be a movie star. one day I'll do this, you know, in fashion, because I used to make my dolls in banana fibers. I used to say, one day I'll dress my dolls, and I'll get my scrappy fabrics from my hand downs that I've been given from one sibling to the other. I'll tear them and I'll make clothes for my Barbie dolls. So that's how all the creative aspects of Susan were formed and created.
Okay, so you've had multi pies and different elements. So we're going to dive into each of them. So naturally, as you said, you moved to Australia where all of that creative juices and invigoration were like, okay, that can be achieved and sparked. So let's first go into the acting world. What do you love about acting?
Oh, the fact that you get the privilege to step into someone's shoes and you have an honor to portray that trueness of that character and bring it to life and portray a realness and a vulnerability and a trueness of that is the most gift anyone can give you. For you to story tell someone else's story in such a vulnerable, heartfelt form is such an honor, and it's not every day that you get the opportunity to step into people's shoes. So in acting, you're given that space to create, to be vulnerable, to either be eccentric, to either add your own or your own brokenness or vulnerability. Because like in case you step into a shoe and this person maybe went through a loss, so you need to tap into the moments you had your own loss. So I feel like with acting, you go into these layers of therapy, vulnerability, and brokenness, and you heal in that way while you're telling someone else's story.
You literally just answered my next question. I was about to say, do you feel portraying these characters allow you to heal from past traumas or things that you went through? So thank you for answering.
Oh, 100%. Like there is a film that should come out this year. That I did Sanctuary Pariahs, and there is scenes that I felt were very close to my childhood, and I remember going to set and telling my producer that, oh, I feel like this is so close to home, and if I break down in the moment of the scene, just let me be, because I think it's somewhere that it's a place in my childhood that I need to heal and grow from. So if that happens, let it be, but I will find myself back in this character.
Lovely. And so you mentioned that film that's coming out hopefully this year. Any other, I know it's all very secretive in this world. Any other sneak peeks or tidbits or things you can reveal that are coming up, or is it all hush
It's all hush hush for now because
hush?
I've signed a lot of contracts, and
Yes.
everything is embargoed, so I can't really say
Oh, good.
anything. But definitely watch this space and look out, people. Look out.
Lovely. So now you referenced the fashion world and creating your Barbie. So are you do still doing fashion?
No, right now I'm not doing fashion, but I feel like fashion has always been. It's within me. I feel like it's something that's embodied within me. Like I could wake up and I don't have to stress about, like I can worry about what to wear, but I can't lack one inspiration. I feel like that's something that's a default. It's part of me. While with acting, it's a growing process where I have to
Okay.
constantly educate myself, learn, put myself in classes, constant learning. While with fashion, it's so easy. Inspiration is within me. I was born with it. So I feel like that's easy. But I use fashion in how I dress, in how I express myself, in I love going to fashion shows and dressing up. I love it, but I'm not designing right now. Although if someone asks me for tips on how to style them, I'm more than happy to give them.
So when you were designing, what did you enjoy about that?
Oh, what I enjoyed is to create and add value on a human being and also exude confidence in them that they were lacking. I designed for a human. I designed for the body, the shape, the character, how they felt. Were they shy and they wanted to express a confidence that they never felt before? So I would literally ask the person and go into it. Felt like therapy for me. I was touching the body, but also creating like a like a uniform. When Superman wore his armor, the Superman uniform, they felt so confident that they would conquer the world. So that's what I always went for. I found that superpower. So my costumes were superpower for the beings and the customers that I was creating for.
So this is, for me, is an interesting question, and you may, from your perception and your experience and your observation, do you think that a lot of humans understand the power of fashion and how it represents them on a day-to-day basis, or a lot of them don't actually realize it?
Ooh, I think that's such an interesting question, but I also think it's subjective,
Yes.
depending on the human being, I
Yeah.
have to say.
Yeah.
But I think fashion is such it's such a fun, like if people embraced it, they will see the beauty within and not judge it from a place of where people think it's shallow.
Yeah.
But every story and every design is created from a space of inspiration. I remember Balenciaga was one day inspired by a homeless man who lived in Italy. So there's a photographer that used to photograph this homeless guy
Yes.
that lived in Italy, and he had the most eccentric style. So Balenciaga found him and was inspired by how this man dressed. So he created a collection that was inspired by that man, a homeless man, and actually named that collection after him. But you can tell, like, so when we buy clothes, we're not just buying because it's Balenciaga, but there is a story behind the story. And you're dressing up because it's inspired by something. And I think that's what sometimes people miss, like, we're not just wearing pieces, but sometimes those pieces are telling stories and hands of people who have sat hours and hours and beaded that gown. So by the time you wear it, you're wearing the pain and the tears and the rushing and the anxiety of someone who is going through. So it's a beauty, it's an appreciation, it's an art.
I actually saw the pictures and that article around the Balenciaga that you referenced. I think I saw it a couple of weeks ago. So I was like, ah, I know that story. I also think that, a lot of people don't realize people will say as much as they want that they try not to be judgmental. But as you see a person for the first time and you see them walking into a room or you're meeting them for the first time, you will automatically look at the way they dress, their exteriors, and like form a judgment on them. And I know it's everyone says they try not to, but I think it's a default of humans to do that, and they'll create a box or a character of this person based on their outer appearance, which is not okay, and we know that, but it's for a lot of people it's just automatic. So if people understand that, then the way they present themselves to the world, they might look at it in a different way. But again, sometimes people hide behind clothes and use it as an armor. Unlike Superman in this potentially negative way, but that's their story and their lives. Susan, you dived into becoming an author. At what point did you think, okay, I want to start telling stories through the power of words and writing?
So when it comes to words, I've always journaled. I'm a girl that enjoys journaling. I love journaling. It's something that's very close to heart. I always found an escape in regards to journaling stories or journaling my thoughts, journaling how I felt. And just before we move on, I just want to clarify that the guy I was talking about, the homeless guy, his name was Slavik. He's a Ukrainian man. That had a unique style. I just thought
Yes.
I would tell you that. And he was
Okay.
photographed by Yoki Diaganshik. I don't know how to pronounce that, but I just thought I
Yeah.
would say that.
Okay, so thanks for
Okay.
that clarification. Thank you.
I'll go back to how I started writing. So I started
Yes.
writing as a form of journaling. I always journal. I love writing, and I always love writing down my thoughts. And there is a time I looked back and I was journaling thoughts. That's my way of finding therapy, finding resolve, finding that inner me, finding that unapologetic voice, healing myself is through journaling and writing down those thoughts and expressing my pain, my whatever I want to feel. I put it in paper if it's hurtful or painful or loving, or if it's a manifestation, it goes on paper, ink, my vision, everything. For me, I love paper, ink, words. It's just amazing and healing for me. So for me, it came from that space where I had journaled thoughts of how I felt in high school. And I remember my first book, Unapologetically Black Afro Sisters, was inspired from that, a book that I wrote to the younger me that was reminding the younger me to stop apologizing for being different. And I remember at the back of the book, I wrote this li lovely letter, and I say, dear young girl, you're reading this book because I am you and you are me. It took me years to learn the true meaning of loving myself. I did not understand that my thoughts and negative voices of others became my actions. In fear of rejection, I hid away my quirks, my beauty spots, and I did not feel good enough, worthy to be accepted or to even belong. So let this book, Unapologetically Black, remind you of the importance of being a cheerleader for yourself. So here's a gift to you and your friend, those who know you and those who have never heard of you or even will never meet you. May they know your brilliance, resilience, exquisite. Be unapologetically you. Be confident in your skin. You are a gift to this world. Do not allow anyone to dim your light. The world needs you, even when you're feeling alone. You are not alone. Hold your head high and surround yourselves with more cheerleaders like me.
Oh, wow, I love that.
So,
I love that.
yeah.
It's a message for every person in the world because everyone tries. I mean, if you look at filters on social media, there's already a part there was like, okay, I need to filter this part out of me because I'm not happy with the way I look. So, I mean, how many millions of people are not unapologetically loving themselves because they don't love who they are?
Oh,
So,
yeah, no, definitely.
absolutely. Now, so your first book was sort of more of a memoir, and then we move into your next book, Love Beyond 30s. So the transition
Yes.
from writing more of a non-fiction through to a fiction sort of story with characters, was there any sort of differences between the two sort of types of book that when you wrote, you were actually surprised by the differences, or was it just a natural transition?
I think by this time, I'm in my 30s. I'm single. Like every other person who's single out there, they're probably thinking, "Where is Mr. Right? Come on, where is he?" We all need compassion and love, and we all need companions. We all need to do life together. So we are all looking for that person to love. And I was dating, trying to find someone that, you know what I mean? Like trying to find someone. So for me, it's in that space of dating and not finding the right person, going through interesting dates and hating my 30s. Because when I look back in my 20s, I was young. I didn't care. You could be dating like 10, 3 people. You're just trying to figure out what life is. You're not looking to get married straight away. But when you're in your 30s, you know who you are. You've done all the therapy, all the hard work. You appreciate yourself. You're not looking for a man because you need him. No, you know who you are. You're awesome. A man is not a need anymore. He's an addition to your life. He, you're not desperate anymore. You can take yourself out to dinner. You know, so if you have a companion, it's a compliment. It's a beautiful experience. You know what I mean? So that's why. So in your 30s, it's very, very different. It's a different art form of how you approach love, how you see love, like how you approach that aspect of that kind of dating lifestyle. So for me, from that space, that's why I wanted to write Love Beyond 30s. It was a natural, like you said, a natural progression because it resonated with not only me, but also with a lot of other people. You know, you know who you are. You now start realizing that we're in a world where dating is different. You're on dating apps. The red flags are brighter than anything. The texts are non-existent. They text you tomorrow. Tomorrow they're ghosting you.
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh. It's just like, yeah, I know exactly
No,
what you're talking about.
it's true. So you're wondering whether finding love is harder than finding Wi-Fi. You know, like it's easy to find Wi-Fi nowadays than finding love. You
That's so funny.
know?
Yes.
So it's a different ball game, to be honest. And being on those dating apps, you're swiping right, left, you know, like no one is impressing you. Like It's like you're winning. Like honestly, it's like I don't know. Like it's difficult. So that from that space, that's why I created Love Beyond 30. It's a fiction book, but also inspired by some of my dating experiences. I wanted people to come to this book to actually be inspired by that. I wanted to pour out myself as a glass. I wanted people to pour out a glass of wine and open up to their favorite dating apps and get ready to laugh, cringe, maybe even cry a little bit with themselves and their friends as they swipe, date, ghost, but most importantly, love themselves through this journey of reading Love Beyond 30s. I wanted people to enjoy it and to laugh at themselves. Like, life is too hard. Let's laugh at all the horrible dating experiences we've had. We don't know why people ghosted us. We don't know why people were acting weird, but we learn from them, we grow from them. So that's why I wrote that book.
It's interesting. They say if someone's moved out of your space or moved out of your life, it's just the person upstairs, however you want to view them, the universe, God, whatever label you want to put it, it's just protecting you from going in down the wrong path, the wrong person. So it's actually in the
A
moment, it's
hundred
like, oh,
percent.
why are they doing this? And your brain is overthinking. But over time, you think, okay, well, maybe it was for the best.
Oh, 100%. They say rejection is God's protection. 100%. Sometimes you don't know because you've done your healing. Sometimes you don't know the person that's coming for you is a whole ball game of trauma and chaos, and you're not ready. You know what I mean? So
I'm just
it's like,
laughing
you
because I
know
know
what?
exactly what you mean.
'Cause you've done all your hard work. You so that God is not going to put you in a place where he's like, okay, you've gone through the bashing on your own. Now I'm not going to bring someone to put you through that again. Hell no, we're going to close that door. And it's painful because in that moment you don't realize it. To be honest, sometimes I feel like, man, I've been on this train for the longest time. When is this train having its stop so I can meet my person? It's like sitting in one spot on a train and your ass is hurting, your legs are hurting. It's like being on a plane. I'll give an example, going from Sydney to London for like 3 days. And you're like, can we stop, stretch these legs for a little bit? Even first class won't count it. Even if you're laying your legs in first class, it's not enough to count it, seriously.
There's, as you said, Love Beyond 30s. Is this going to be like sort of a series in this title?
I would love to write a second one. Hopefully, in the second one, we are now finding love, and we're actually progressing into marriage. But it's my first sequel on this. People have been embracing it. People have been loving it. So there is a potential of doing a second one, but I can't guarantee that. It may just be good as that. What if I find love and I'm like, I'm not ready to reveal all the secrets, but my partner will probably be like, aren't you in love right now? Why are you talking about other people? So, but that hasn't happened yet. You know what I mean? But I'm open to it. I think it's an interesting book, and I think it's just an encouragement to just remind people you're not alone in this journey. We're all in the same bowl of salad. Some of us are being eaten. Some of us are being thrown away. Some of us are being ghosted. I don't know.
I love your analogies. They just make me laugh. And then, do you think that it could potentially move into sort of a movie or a television show?
It could be, let's manifest that. It
Let's do
could be a
it.
next. Let's manifest that. What if it is the next TV series? That would be so cool.
That's awesome. Susan, so besides the book and the movies that are all hush hush, anything else that's coming up in the next period of time?
Ooh, there's so much, babe. There's so much. But
But
like I
yes, it's
said,
all hush
it's
hush.
embargoed, yes. But trust me, you'll be the first one to know when something's come up. It'll be
Lovely.
nice to announce it on your podcast
Oh, well.
and inform everyone what's next. It'll be
Oh,
lovely.
amazing. Oh, well, I'm definitely going to hold you to that. So we'll keep in touch. So, Susan,
Yeah.
definitely the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
To all my creative people out there, whether you're doing dance, music, comedy, you're a writer, whether you're script writing, you're writing plays. We live in a world where there's a lot of greed, there's a lot of bullying, there's a lot of big egos. There's a lot of people who don't want you to succeed. There's a lot of people or producers or people who come alongside you and tell you they believe in your dreams, but they just want to use you or manipulate you. There's a lot of people who will sell you the false dream, but actually end up belittling your idea. There's a lot of people who will tell you you're not good enough, that idea can't sell. But I want to remind you that I'm a girl who came from Africa, born in the guerrilla war. I didn't even know if I would survive that, and I made it to Australia, and I've made it this far. I want to remind you that your story is important, your dream is important, what you have to deliver to the world is important, and I don't want you to give up on yourself. Whether you're a podcaster, whether you're a storyteller, I want you to believe in your dreams. There is people out there that are willing to help you, but don't fall for the first thing just because you think it's right. Use your intuition. Believe in every ounce of your intuition. Listen to your inner voice. Pray about it. Seek wisdom. Study. And then jump into that contract, jump into that agreement, jump into that partnership. But I don't want you to fall. Even if you fall down and you lose everything, rise up again. Create again. The ideas are in you. They're not in that person who stole them. They're not in anyone else who told you you can't do it. They're not in anyone who told you you can't create. The ideas are in within you. Whatever is in you is greater than what's in this other world. So believe in you. Be your biggest cheerleader. Don't listen to the naysayers. Your haters are people who are going to elevate you. They don't break you down. But just don't believe in those words, even if they're hurtful. Because I know they can hurt. But rise up again and keep going.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.